5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's time for the Lunch Rush. Let's take a look at some of the big stories trending nationally. Both the quarterback and top receiver, Devontae Adams and Derek Carr, they expressed kind of some relief Wednesday at team owner Mark Davis giving his support to first-year coach Josh McDaniels. They were basically talking, you know, of course we know Mark Davis said Rome wasn't built in a day, all that kind of thing. Carr said Wednesday that Davis's vote of confidence allowed the players to exhale. Said it really did, just being here for 9 years and everything that we've seen and been through and some tragedies and all this stuff, right? I'm so happy to hear that Mr. Davis feels that way. I'm so happy that he loves Josh. He loves first-year general manager Dave Ziegler. He believes in him. Is that, I mean, again, I get where Derek Carr's coming from. You just, at some point, you just want stability with your coach. And you can't, you know, keep firing. And then you got to bring another new guy in, a new system. Listen, I know Josh McDaniels isn't popular here. But there does come a point where you say, well, fiscally it doesn't make much sense. But also, is there patience anymore? Is there a year or two or three, like 3 years to really try to establish this? So I don't know, man. I get McDaniels is on the hot seat, but hearing Derek Carr say that and Devontae Adams kind of coming out saying the same thing, doesn't that mean that maybe they don't hate this guy? Maybe they do. They don't mind Josh McDaniels at this point. Mark Davis said, of course, the Rome wasn't built in a day and all that stuff, and that they right now they're confident in him. That was my vote of confidence, was hiring him, essentially. But, I don't know. This is interesting. That's our Method Flow Products poll question, by the way. Whose seat is hotter, Nathaniel Hackett's or Josh McDaniels? And it sure sounds like it's Nathaniel Hackett's, because I don't think the Raiders are going anywhere, at least at this point. Steph Curry had 50 points last night in a losing effort to the Suns. 130 to 119. Curry scored over 50, and you lose 130 to 119. What is going on with the Warriors, man? Like, I thought that, you know, first couple of games of the season, I'm thinking, well, they're going to be right back to doing what they normally do, right in the mix. And it has been bad. Steve Kerr said last night, he was, like, very upset. He said, hey, teams can't wait to come and get a chance to kick our you-know-what. I have no idea what's going on with the Warriors. Is it the punch? Is that what it is? Or what? Because you mean to tell me Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, that situation, they're just suddenly not good anymore? It's weird. Dude, what's that on, Joe?
It's got to be something else, if not talent issue. It's locker room or coaching or chemistry issues.
Yeah, really?
If my teammate punched another teammate, I'd probably stay away from that one teammate.
There's probably some chemistry issues. And Draymond Green being so important to everything the Warriors do, if he's not clicking with Poole, and Poole's obviously the young prospect that they, not even a prospect anymore, the young guy they kind of want to build around. Yeah, I suppose you can see why there's issues right now for Golden State. More basketball news. Kyrie Irving maybe going to get his return on Sunday against the Memphis Grizzlies. So he's learned his lesson?
I guess. He's on step 5 of 7.
I guess so. It's bizarre. You know, if you really believe he's as bad as you think he is, I don't think a 5-game suspension is something that's really, to me, going to change like your personality, your belief structure, all of that. You know, and listen, I hearing Coach K talk about Kyrie, and even Adam Silver talked about him, and they said, "Hey, we don't believe that that's who he is." But then why was there 5 years? Oh, because he tweeted a documentary. He tweeted a documentary that he even said he doesn't believe in all of. I'm not like a Kyrie guy. I'm not in his camp necessarily on this. It's just, to me, it's just kind of goes along the same lines with the NFL suspensions. If you really think it's that bad, if you think he's this terrible of a human being, what's 5 games going to do? You know, and now, oh, we're getting done with this 5-game suspension. He has totally redeemed himself in the last week and a half. He is a changed man because of his 5-game suspension. What a story. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So what's going on with the SEC, Angel?
I saw this report this morning. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says he's pushing hard for the SEC to get rid of divisions and not even do like a pod system. They want to just have all 14, soon to be 16 SEC teams as just one conference.
Which we all kind of thought might come, but so just all pool them up together and then they don't, they just play each other all the time. And
I'd imagine it's some kind of 10 or probably 10 game conference schedule, two non-conference games, because you still want to keep those, you know, Pac-12, Big Ten type of games. But my thought process is, well, I don't really like it because obviously I grew up with, you know, divisions and rivalries,
yeah,
and
yeah,
two best teams go to Atlanta for the championship. But with the way the new playoff is set to be formatted, say there's five teams from the SEC in the top 15, one of them's going to be a champion. You have four other ones that are still highly ranked that may only have one or two losses that can be considered for those wild card spots.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
I wouldn't be shocked if other conferences do this.
I wouldn't be either. Honestly, I really wouldn't be. Why not? Why not take a shot at that? More news in the college basketball scene. They're wanting to appoint a chief operating officer of college football who would report to a proposed FBS football governing board. So just one guy in control, a Roger Goodell type, perhaps?
One guy that or gal that reports to a board that reports to some NCAA committee. Yeah. And then there's the playoff committee that is talking separately to put the 12 or 4 and then 12 teams in. What's with all the committees?
Well, that's why.
Put something in charge.
I've always said, yeah, put somebody in charge. Yes, they answer to someone, but there should be somebody that's just absolutely in. They do need a Roger Goodell, as weird as that is to say. You need a commissioner, a real commissioner that is just about the sports side of things, that is the end all be all. The guy, the fall guy, fall gal, whatever, that's going to be the person that you look to in as far as big-time decisions. You know, getting in front of NIL stuff, getting in front of transfer portal stuff, getting in front of or digging in and dissecting the cheating stuff that's going on in college sports. I've always thought this, and I still feel like, you know, if they would have had something like this in place earlier, hire somebody with vision. There should have been somebody 20 years ago, Angel, that was like, hey, name, image, and likeness, that's going to be a thing, right? Like, as much noise as we've made about it, that's going to be a thing. And transfer portal stuff, like, that's going to be a thing, too. Because it's sooner or later... You can't. These coaches can do whatever the hell they want, make whatever the hell they want, but the players can't. They get a scholarship. Oh, okay. Coach gets $8 million, depending on where you are. I just, if you go back 20 years ago, there should have been somebody saying, "Hey, these are the bumps in the road. Who's navigating ahead?" And that was never their strategy. It was a board that just kicked the can on down the road, and that's why they're in this mess right now. That's why the transfer portal feels like the wild, wild west. It's out of control. Like I said a million times, there's parts of the transfer portal I like, parts I don't. Like, sorry, but Melquan Stovall's situation? He left. He left Nevada because the coach, his coach, went to CSU. He wasn't happy with the season, so he goes back to Nevada. That is what I don't like. I don't like that portion of the transfer portal. You know, I do like the fact that a coach recruited you to a school and then he leaves. Yeah, you went to that school because of that coach. Clay Millen tells us right here on this station on Mondays, I came to CSU because I came to Nevada because of Jay Norvell and Matt Mummy. I left to go to CSU because of Jay Norvell and Matt Mummy. That stuff I'm good with. Or maybe you're a fifth string, fourth string, third string quarterback, Jalen Hurts style, second string, and you know you're an NFL talent, but you also know Tua's an NFL talent. And if you're flipping a coin who's going to be the starter, Tua's the starter. Okay, that's going to severely impact my career. If I just stay as a backup, I'm going to go 1 year to Oklahoma, right? And do my thing there. That I agree with. But the Melquan Stovall example is another one. But again, these are things that... If you had a Roger Goodell type guy navigating, say what you will about Goodell, he's made the NFL bigger. He's made it better, made him a lot more money than they could have ever imagined. And I think college football, college sports in general needs one of those people.
Yeah, I think you brought the point about the transfer portal. I thought about the NIL stuff. And just looking at Texas A&M, they had the number one recruiting class. Allegedly, they were buying their recruits or offering them a lot of contracts, and they're 3-8 this year. And how many of those guys are going to transfer at the end of the season?
Exactly.
And where does all that money just go? Do they keep it? Does it just go back to the boosters or whoever's giving them that money? And what does that do for A&M if, okay, well, now we got to fire Jimbo, but we can't because he's on a contract. We had the number one recruiting class, and we're not winning games. So is it worth putting money into the football players' NIL stuff?
That's the things you got to start looking at, too. I mean, it is – there was never a plan to start this thing out, which is why you're seeing us fly by the seat of our pants trying to get our hands around name, image, and likeness and what that truly means. And – again, it's so frustrating as a college sports fan because you don't like everything that's going on. You just think, man, it's all we got to do is pay attention. You know, what are the trends telling us? What are we seeing down the road? So what would this person be in charge of, so to speak? They said the proposal has been circulated, according to ESPN, at the highest levels of college football, including the 10 FBS commissioners and college football playoff executive director Bill Hancock, sources said. The detailed recommendations for the sport's future governance are the results of months of discussions, which began bubbling this past spring. I mean, I don't really know what this person would be in charge of. According to the group's proposal, the FBS football governing board would primarily be comprised of people with significant football knowledge and appointed by their conference. There would be a representative from the American Football Coaches Association, along with four independent directors. And they would decide all matters related to FBS football, except for rules related to academics, financial aid, and health and safety. While the board would oversee things like officiating, rules, and possibly scheduling, many agree there are issues that should remain at the level of the university presidents, and the NCAA would remain a legal shield. See, that's where you got to be careful. You're going to just kind of pick and choose who's doing what, who's doing where. 17 minutes after the hour. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Whose seat is hotter, Josh McDaniels or Nathaniel Hackett's? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people are saying Hackett's, and some are even saying, I hope it's Hackett's. You're so done with Nathaniel Hackett that you kind of, in a roundabout way, hope that Josh McDaniels keeps his job. Kind of. I mean, if you're answering the poll question today, 60% say Josh McDaniels. All right, we'll take a quick break. 18 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. More Broncos talk coming up. And just where can this go? Does a win over the Raiders change the percentage chance that Nathaniel Hackett would remain as the Denver Broncos head coach? Or do you really just need to see that trajectory start to move up? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Okay, so a media member in Denver said that Russell Wilson was using Seattle language with audibles. Nathaniel Hackett was asked about it, and according to Zach Stevens, he tweeted it out moments ago, Hackett said that's news to him. He added he didn't know that before today. So
that doesn't really help anything.
What does that mean?
It means it's either a made-up story or report, or there's really no communication whatsoever on this team.
Wouldn't Hackett know, though, if Russ is audibling and doing different audibles that they haven't talked about throughout the week? He could hear it, right? He would know.
I'm sure his players would talk about it in meetings. I don't know. Are they having meetings?
I don't know, man.
Do they have practice, or are they just going inside so we can't see them?
What does this all mean? It sounds like the coach, and again, this to me, it just goes back to Nathaniel Hackett. First and foremost, he's just in over his head. Like, dude, quarterbacks are going to make their own calls sometimes. How many times do you see fourth and inches and punt unit comes on and a good quarterback will wave it off and then the coach is like, all right, fine. Sometimes they give in to that. And some of that stuff's okay. Aaron Rodgers changes things a lot. But you have to find the balance. And if this is true that Russ Wilson's creating his own audibles, was that what happened with Jalen Virgil's throw? Was that a Seattle audible? Was that something that he concocted during the week, just away from Hackett? Said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to have this in the mix, guys. Be ready. Are these like separate meetings?
What are the words?
Don't know.
Fish market?
Probably. Like, something Seattle-y.
Storm cloud?
I just...
Space needle. That was the audible. Space needle.
It's getting bad, man. It's just so bad. And I mean, I'm looking at Sunday going, all right, even if you find a way somehow, well, you beat another cluster. You know, another bad situation with the Raiders. Just another awful setup.
Didn't we see this back in week one with Seattle saying that they knew what Russell was doing on the field because he was calling out the same plays or the same kind of calls?
Yeah. Like it's a very elementary type offense now. And we were talking about it. I was sitting in with Good Morning NoCo, and Tanner was saying, hey, look at checkdowns. Does Hackett even have a lot of those?
I mean, they design checkdowns?
I'm not seeing them. I mean, a lot of times when I look, nobody's open. That's because three receivers are 15 yards downfield. And a tight end is covered up. There's got to be some mismatches you can find and exploit. Again, it just feels like this team's calling plays for the sake of calling plays. Not an actual offense. Where you're motioning guys around for a certain purpose to create spacing. I mean, you're a Dolphins fan. Just look at what they do with Tyreek Hill alone. Moving him around so that they can find unique ways not only to get him open, but to create space. That's what sports is all about. Any sport you want to watch is about spacing. How do we create space so that a guy can make a play or get an open shot? Baseball's about spacing too. I mean, it's all about spacing. And so when you're just running the ball just for the sake of it, oh, you know what? Let's run this time from the shotgun. That'll get him. That'll confuse him. Just hand it off. Okay, next play. Let's go deep. It's like, I said this as a joke 6 weeks ago. It feels like how we play Madden. You're just playing. You don't really have a philosophy when you play. You just go.
No, it's like you'll send one guy on a vertical. You'll send your tight end on a seam route. They're running in the same exact area, and there's three defenders there. The other guys are running a flat and an out route. You can't do that because the left side of your line just collapsed, so you got to run to the right. And there's no check down because you had to bring the running back in to help protect.
Yeah.
First down.
Oh, boy. Oh, our Method Flow Products poll question. Whose seat is hotter, Josh McDaniels or Nathaniel Hackett's? Gregory says, I think they are both on the hot seat. Yes. From what I hear, the Raiders don't have the money to fire McDaniels and pay his contract, so I would say Hackett would be the first one to go. The thing with McDaniels is he has had a long time of this. He's had way more games than Nathaniel Hackett, so he should be on the hot seat. Hackett, you can still hold out hope that maybe now that he's got the basic stuff cleaned up, he can start to input his real stuff. But when? Why didn't that happen in the offseason? Why didn't it happen in the bye? Dude, the narrative has changed so much amongst media members and fans after the bye. Now it's full on, who's going to be the next head coach? Now you're hearing the names come out. Who's going to be the next head coach of the Broncos? Because that's what you came up with after the bye was 10 points. That's why we are totally in panic mode this time. It's different than the other losses. You had a bye week to figure it out. And you were going up against the Titans team that was in an overtime game before that.
I think the thing about Josh McDaniels, and I was just looking at their schedule, they've been in every single game. They're scoring upwards of 20 points. And it feels more like it's just coaching decisions late in games that are hurting them so much. But I also think they have confidence in the pieces that they have. Obviously, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs. There's some players on that defense that, you know, stand out from game to game. The Broncos, you don't really have that outside of your defense, and even that's just Patrick Surtain and a few linemen.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you just see on Twitter? Mike Kliss, or Mr. Kliss, just tweeted out something about Patrick Surtain.
Oh, yeah. Mike Kliss said it was suggested that Patrick Surtain has a punt return.
Who suggested that?
I don't know.
Giro Evero probably said, hell no.
Absolutely not.
What are you talking about? That's my stud corner.
Fired that assistant today.
Nobody's putting Patrick Surtain. This reminds me of Champ Bailey with Shanahan. You know, obviously defense was good. Shanahan was looking for answers offensively. So he put Champ Bailey. He had a couple of design plays where Champ Bailey was in as a receiver. They were so desperate to just try to find anything. And again, that's Shanahan, offensive genius. But that was bizarre then. The idea of taking your star corner would be and putting him as a punt returner would be absolutely crazy. Hey, got this in for you guys. Got this from the Pooter School District. All after-school extracurricular activities, programs, events, and athletics are canceled today. The decision was made because, of course, the National Weather Service placed Fort Collins and the surrounding areas under a winter storm warning. Schools will be released on normal bell schedules. Afternoon bus routes will run as usual, but may be delayed as drivers navigate inclement conditions. Just for you guys, there's an app you can download. Here Comes the Bus. It provides the real-time location of each bus and can be accessed through desktop or mobile devices. It is available in the Apple iTunes Store or Google Play. That's, dude, it's so cool that you can have that kind of alert system now. But there you go. Pooter School District, extracurricular activities, programs, and events, and athletics are canceled today at this point.
We had a caller on the line, Aaron, saying that Hackett's on the hot seat because he wasn't hired by the current owners.
Well, he was hired by the general manager. It doesn't matter if they hired him or not. If he's
but
three
the owners
and six.
Can cut ties with him and start over because they just got there. With the Raiders, it's, all right, we made this decision, let's ride it out.
Theirs is because they're financially crippled. Like, they can't fire Josh McDaniels. Listen, if Walton Penner Group hired a head coach and they were 3-6 with the same issues, would that save him a little more? You'd say, oh, well, that's their guy.
Yes.
You think that would be?
I think for them, it's, all right, we may be able to stick with Peyton. Peyton, or George, you didn't do a great job with this hire. Go ahead and cut him. We'll give you another shot with us. If you don't get it right, you're done.
See, I think, to the caller's point, George Peyton is more on the hot seat than Nathaniel Hackett.
Do you think the ownership group, do they trust Peyton more? Can he give them enough of an impression now to say, hey, yeah, this wasn't probably the best coaching decision. We were in a weird state of mind with this franchise, just trying to get something going. Obviously, we did pick the wrong coach. Give me one more shot to find some guy, and you can help me with that.
I mean, it is his first coaching hire. Do you give him a pass? But then do you give Hackett a pass because it's his first coaching season?
I mean, it's hard when you give him a quarterback like Russell, who was, granted, preseason was a top 10 quarterback.
And if Hackett would have had a young quarterback, a learning quarterback, do you think Hackett would have more confidence to say, hey, this is it. This is what we're running. This stuff only. That not cooking. We're not going to the shotgun all the time. This is what we're running. But instead, you got to know that Hackett was through the moon when he heard about Russell Wilson. He was up on the podium like, it's Russell freaking Wilson, let's go. You got to know that there's some kind of, not star factor or star struck or whatever, because Hackett's dealing with Aaron Rodgers all the time. But there's part of him that's like, dude, whatever Russ needs, give you an office, let's go.
Do you think that maybe getting Russell, he took some of that responsibility off himself? Like, okay, I don't have to be Superman coach because I have Russell Wilson as my quarterback. He can make changes when he needs to. As opposed to a guy like Drew Lock, who he did have when he first got, or no, he didn't have him when he first got here. You think with Drew Lock, he could have been like, all right, Drew, you're going to learn my offense. We're going to run it my way.
Yeah,
I get you're in your fourth year, but you need to prove yourself, yeah. So you're going to run with me, and that's going to be it.
I think a quarterback like that does give a coach more mental freedom.
And confidence in himself.
Yes.
He's not second-guessing himself with Jerry and Russell on the field.
Because what did Russ say in his press conference yesterday when he was asked about Strong? Well, you know, I've been in a lot of – it's always going to come back to what Russ has done. The wristband. Well, I won a lot of games. Hey, should you be wearing a wristband? Won a lot of games without him. Hey, should you be in under center more? Won a lot of games in shotgun.
No, I just appreciate the opportunity.
But that's
great, Russ, but you're not doing anything with that opportunity.
But that's Russ's response is like, dude, I've done it all. If you have a Drew Lock or a Justin Fields or whatever back there, they don't have that. They can't do that. So Hackett's going to sit down with Russ, and what we're hearing on the podium is probably similar to what we're hearing in the meetings. Hey, Russ, we really think we should do this, 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 and this. Nah, that didn't work for me, and I won a Super Bowl. I went to two of them. So, I mean, yeah.
That's kind of what we got out of the Seattle reports that we get.
Exactly. Although that took 8 years. This is taking year one. I do think that there's something. Aaron Rodgers, you think he's easy to work with?
Absolutely not.
No, somehow they found a way. Well, this year maybe not, but somehow Matt LaFleur found a way. Was that Hackett being the middle? Maybe you need that mediator in the middle. I don't know, but... I'm telling you, man, it's getting rough. 36 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle jumping on the program with us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll talk to him coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
The time. Welcome back into The Whole Show. Live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. We have Rams Weekly coming up later today at 5 o'clock. Kevin, you get the chains on the tires, all that stuff. You ready to go?
Absolutely. No little snow is going to slow down Rams Weekly.
I don't think so, man. I don't think anything is going to stop Rams Weekly. And hopefully, you know, the Rams can find ways to stop Air Force coming up this weekend. I want to talk to you about football coming up in a moment. But let's look at the CSU basketball side of things. Start off the season 3-0. They've got this tournament coming up, the Shriners Children's Charlton Classic. We'll see South Carolina coming up at 3 for this team. What do you make of CSU's 3-0 start, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, everything good so far. You know, not going to get carried away or anything with the start. You know, it's not like it was a murderer's row of opponents, but actually, kind of ironically, after each game, the team CSU beat has then had a performance that kind of makes your eyes perk up a bit and go, oh man, maybe that was a better win than we thought. But there's so many crazy results in college basketball already in the first 2 weeks. So being 3-0 is a good place no matter who you've played. And then you figure CSU's going through a lot of transition and change and a lot is happening. So to be, learning while winning is a good way to be right now.
Yeah, and with all, like you said, with all the questions coming into the season and waiting to see what when Isaiah Stevens is going to make his return. Obviously, we know that's down the road. To start the season 3-0, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself. What does this tournament look like to you, Kevin? I mean, like South Carolina, I see they're 2-0. I don't know a lot about them at this point, but nice opportunity tournament play early on. We talked about it last year how beneficial early tournament games were ultimately for CSU. A nice test here, a nice opportunity for Colorado State.
Yeah, this is a really good tournament. And you mentioned CSU last year in the Paradise Jam. That really catapulted their season in a lot of ways, and this is a much better field than the Paradise Jam was. You have South Carolina, that's a really intriguing game. You know, they're a team that's probably toward the bottom of the SEC, which is a good deep conference, but they do have G.G. Jackson, who is one of the top five recruits in the country. So they have some really elite-level talent. And the team that started well, they have a new coach. I think people are really optimistic. I was on a show out there yesterday. They're really optimistic about the future. So this is a team that it's hard to tell, but anytime you get a chance to face one of those, you know, power conference teams, it's a good opportunity. And really, this sets the tone for the tournament. If you win this first game, then you're going to get two really good opponents in the next two games, no matter what. If you lose this one, you know, you're still going to face good opponents, but, you know, the lesser end of the tournament. So it's a really, really good field. You know, Penn State, I think they're a tournament team. Virginia Tech could be a tournament team. I think Furman and Old Dominion are probably postseason teams one way or another. You know, obviously, I think CSU is a postseason team, and Davidson as well. So pretty much your whole field, I think, will probably play, you know, one form or another a tournament in March.
You know, it was nice to see for CSU in their last outing, too. Maybe they can carry that momentum into this tournament. You know, beating a Weber State team they're supposed to beat, but they beat them convincingly. You know, 36-15 at the half, end up winning, what, 77-50 or 52. Those are, you know, that was a nice one. You want to, you know, a couple of games early on, you wanted to see that. But like you said, maybe some of those teams are better than we thought. Weber State is a team that you really wanted to see CSU run the table with, and they certainly did that.
Yeah, definitely. It's always nice to see a young team learn how to do that, because, you know, some people, I think, kind of shrug and say, well, it's just a blowout. It is just a blowout. You know, that's not going to be the top of their resume or anything. But to bury a team early and then not let them back in it is a nice thing. And, you know, it helps spread some minutes out as well, you know, get some other guys on the floor. So all good there. And you know, like I said, the other teams they beat have gone and had good games after. Gardner-Webb almost won at North Carolina, who's number one in the nation. So that was an eye-popping game. And then Southeast Louisiana, you know, we kind of shrugged and said, oh, you know, decent win. That team goes up into Laramie and beats the Cowboys. So that's why I say, you know, it doesn't matter how you're winning them. Just keep winning early.
Well, and like you said to start the segment, as crazy as college basketball is right now, I mean, if you can find yourself, you know, getting out of some of these storms, out of these messes with more wins, I mean, hey, you'll take it at this point. Who has kind of been, you know, three games, I know it's an early sample size, but, you know, consistently, who do you think is the guy right now for Colorado State? Obviously waiting to see when Isaiah is going to come back, but who is that guy at this point for CSU?
Yeah, I mean, one of the cool things is it's been several guys. I mean, Isaiah Rivera obviously had the game winner, and he's played really well. John Tanjay's had his stretches where he's really good. Jalen Lake, I think, maybe is playing the most consistent all-around ball. And then, you know, Patrick Cartier has been good inside. But, you know, I think the most important player is and has to be Tavi Jackson, the freshman point guard. And he's been probably better than we expected. And I know I've been really high on him, but he's, you know, scoring. He's shooting like 75%. He had the one game where he had like four turnovers, but the other two, he only had one each. So he's, you know, controlling the ball really well. And he makes some really electric plays. So I think, again, he's your most important player on this team, you know, for now until whenever Isaiah Stevens can come back. And he's really looking like a gem, like a, you know, a current and future big player for the Rams.
You know, be excited to see, you know, what that looks like a couple of games down the road and how some of these players really continue to begin to step up more and more. Kevin, let's go back and look at the football side of things against the Wyoming Cowboys. And, man, it looked great for a moment. That defense gets a quick three and out, punts the ball, and Torrey Horton takes it all the way for a touchdown. And then the defense continues to just get stop after stop after stop against Wyoming. But, again, this offense couldn't figure it out and get in the end zone.
Yeah, really, really disappointing result for CSU. I mean, the Rams absolutely should have won that game. I think they outplayed Wyoming in basically every way, but a couple really – poor timed mistakes ended up costing CSU. You know, there was the CSU was up 10-0 and in the red zone, and you get a bad interception that, you know, if you had scored a touchdown and go up 17, I don't think that Wyoming team is coming back from down 17 against CSU's defense, even though it was first half. And then the Torrey Horton fumble in the fourth quarter, you know, CSU just kicked a field goal, go up 6, and defense forces a three and out. You're thinking, okay, you know, ball back. At minimum, eat some clock. That defense playing well, and you know, just unfortunate luck. You feel terrible for Torrey Horton. I mean, he's, you know, been by far the best player on this team, I would say, and and to cough it up like that, you know, obviously, you know, he knew it's the last thing he wanted to do, but, you know, that's football. So just the game, CSU, you know, should have won. They still had a late field goal attempt, you know, just 40 yards that they missed to go ahead, and, you know, just huge, huge mistakes. Like you said, the offense, they again moved the ball, but couldn't do it in the red zone. It's kind of the same story every week, it feels like.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you start to think maybe this offense is starting to turn it around. You know, early in game, you see Clay connect with Torrey Horton downfield, and you're thinking, okay, this offense is starting to open up. But again, the same old, same old. Two games remaining for Colorado State, and coming up, they've got Air Force. And Air Force is a weird one for me to figure out, Kevin. I was really high on this team to start the season, and then they've just had a couple of hiccups down the road. Even in wins, they've had some hiccups down the road.
Yeah, they're hard to figure. You look at the record, and, you know, 7-3, that's plenty nice. You know, they could get to 10 wins if they went out and win their bowl game. That's nothing to bat your eye at, but just 3-3 in Mountain West play. Haven't really looked good against the top teams. Obviously, there's the probation for the, you know, recruiting violations hanging over everyone's head, and not really anyone in the stadium, you know, other than for, you know, service games. It seems like it's kind of a weird situation of, it's a pretty decent team, but people aren't excited about them, and even with their good record, it feels like a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, no question. We'll see if they can battle it out with the Falcons. Another trophy game coming up, a rivalry game. So find a way to win this one. And again, you're somewhat happy. You're finding a positive in, for the most part, what's been a very rough season. Kevin, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly coming up. We'll dive into all things Colorado State basketball, Colorado State football. So much to discuss. Looking forward to our chat, my friend.
Yeah, excited to be in there and talk all things CSU.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, on 1251 the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up in the third hour, got the Thursday night special coming up. And for those of the diehard hooligans, the Hall of Famers, you already know who I'm picking. You already know who I'm picking. Tell me why you should already know. And I'll read a couple of texts when we come back. It's the whole show. Live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We got a good one in this Myrtle Beach tournament. Colorado taking on UMass 45-45 with 13 and a half minutes to go. And this Buffs team is a little salty, man. I mean, they're not hitting shots right now, but got a little attitude about them. Kind of like it. So we'll see if the Buffs can pull this thing off. All right, Thursday night special coming up in the second hour. Let's talk a little Denver Nuggets. We'll talk our third hour. Yeah, there we go. A little Denver Nuggets. More on the Denver Broncos, of course. And college hoops, well, what we expect this weekend. The UNC Bears football team, they wrap up their season on Saturday. So we're going to find out what the future holds for Ed McCaffrey and the University of Northern Colorado, what that plan looks like. I haven't heard anything. I don't know that anything's going to happen, but we've all been talking about it. All right, we'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.